Thank you very much. When I walked in today, I saw a few people I knew, Walter Burns, Carrie McMullen, folks come up to say hello. The first thing Walter said was, I looked very subdued. I'm not known for being subdued. Sorry, I'll speak up. That was the point. he said that I sound very subdued, and I'm certainly not known for that. And the answer is that I gave to Walter was, I'm just terribly, terribly tired, and that is really the key thing that I'll talk about. Since the topic that I was asked to address is, are there limits on free speech in a democratic society, I thought the only new thing I could bring to a reasonably novel perspective to this sort of group was actually how a major network operates, which I know in great detail today, what its power is, and what it's like to try and stop it. There's no question in my mind that in any free society there are limits on free speech. You can't shout fire in a crowded theater, etc. I mean, it seems to me axiomatic that there have to be some responsibilities that come along with the ability to remain free and to speak freely. When CBS broadcast a show called The Uncounted Enemy, a Vietnam Deception, which was advertised as a conspiracy, and I can tell you one thing for sure. There is no one in this country who knows more about what the word conspiracy means than the lawyers that I work with and myself. I mean, we've dealt with that ad nauseum. When CBS broadcast this show, which we believe was a fiction, the question was, could you sue them and make it stick? We did sue them. In discovery, we have obtained from them their own internal report, the Benjamin Report, which many of you know says, as its second conclusion, that a conspiracy was not proved, yet that's what they broadcast. The question is, one, how could they have done that? How does the media actually work? And secondly, what should we do, if anything, to limit the working of that media? With respect to the first question, I would ask you to consider that there are a number of reasons why, in a major electronic news organization, people will present a biased or false view of facts. The first is the media star, the investigative reporter. If you want to make it big in television, you've got to do something. I assume there are tape recorders here. Is that correct? I mean, we really are in litigation. You wouldn't believe the number of people who've been deposed. I mean, anybody who's ever shaken Westmoreland's hand finds himself deposed. The media star, someone like Mike Wallace, makes a living, and his network makes a living, out of being sensational. In order for him to make the money that he makes, he has got to catch people in exposed positions. He has to embarrass. He has to hurt. That pressure to become a prominent investigative reporter leads to a great deal of biased reporting, I'm fairly certain. Secondly, the sheer money that a network makes out of a prominent star or out of a sensational story leads to bias. Thirdly, there are propagandists. I mean, there are certain people who have a point of view. Whether all of these sorts of people should be subject to the restraint of a lawsuit, at the least, seems to me to be reasonably beyond argument. And that's what our Supreme Court said in the Sullivan case. I now get to the question of whether, even if you can find a competent attorney to file a suit against one of these organizations, that suit can be maintained. The The answer to that is almost certainly no. A public figure in the United States today is effectively libel proof for two reasons. One, the Sullivan rule says that that public figure can only recover for libel, for false statements about him, if you prove that the network that made the statements did so with reckless disregard for the truth, i.e., the people who did it, had a serious doubt as to whether or not what they said was true. That's not whether or not a reasonable man would doubt. You have to prove the individuals who made the program. You have to prove that Mike Wallace had a real doubt as to whether Westmoreland was conspiring to suppress information from the president. Even if you could find a lawyer to press that case, the cost of doing so and the ability of the media, the major media like CBS, to resist that attack is so overwhelming that the attack cannot honestly be pressed. That gets to the question of being tired. CBS is currently employing, we estimate, more than 20 lawyers, plus all the backup staff, and spending millions of dollars a year. There are four of us. We have had depositions in Munich, London, Blowing Rock, North Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, New York City, Washington, D.C., parts of Virginia. We will have them in California, Illinois. We have had depositions in Missouri. We have had depositions in a part of Texas that I only know is way down by the border. To withstand that kind of defense, and it is, it's more an attack than a defense, is unbelievably difficult. What I think you have to believe is that the Sullivan rule today, coupled with the amount of money that the media has, makes it significantly or substantially free of any kind of limit whatsoever with respect to what they say. You are relying solely on the good graces of the people who broadcast the news that you see. And if you want to do that, why, I mean, that's very fine. We don't feel so comfortable with that. What I would suggest as ways to change this are some very, very small changes in the present rule. I don't think that the Sullivan rule, and I assume most of you know what I mean by that, and I've described it today, should be abolished. It would be enough if the Supreme Court said that in a libel case where a public figure is concerned, the judge should grant summary judgment only in rare and unusual circumstances. If these cases get to a jury, juries tend to be reasonably sane and will find against the media when that's appropriate. At present, it is very, very difficult to get to the jury. In sum, the question was, are there limits on free speech in a democratic society? One, I think there ought to be. Two, there are absolutely no limits today on what a major network can do. I know, if we can't win the Westmoreland case, given what we know are the facts, you can't win any libel case if you're a public figure. Now, the thing to watch for is a book that will be published this spring by Macmillan and Company. I know the title, but it needn't be mentioned here. It's been written by a man named Don Cowett, one of the TV Guide authors, who wrote the TV Guide article, Anatomy of a Smear, that exposed what happened in the making of The Uncounted Enemy. Mr. Coward's book, which I assume I know will be reasonably lengthy, will investigate and has investigated and documented just how CBS made this broadcast. Mr. Coward has access to all the people inside CBS who wanted to tell the truth about what happened. That book may well change how the public looks at the media. The lawsuit just kept things in the public eye while the book was being prepared. Thank you.